in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 531. It is July 27, 2016. We have been reading a preface to a book written by the nonconformist theologian of nearly 400 years ago named John Owen. The book is called The Glory of Christ. It's not easy reading. It's not because of old King James language either. It's because the man has gone deeper into Jesus and his word, and we need to follow him. Let's see what he's got to say today. In him, the relation of our nature unto God is eternally secured, in him being Jesus, of course. We were created in a covenant relation unto God. Our nature was related unto him in a way of friendship, of likeness, and complacency. But the bond of this relation and union was quickly broken by our apostasy from him. Hereon, our whole nature became to be at the utmost moral distance from God, an enmity against him, which is the depth of misery. But God, in infinite wisdom and grace, did design once more to recover it and take it again near unto himself. And he would do it in such a way as should render it utterly impossible that there should ever be a separation between him and it anymore. Heaven and earth may pass away, but there shall never be a dissolution of the union between God and our nature anymore. He did it, therefore, by assuming it into a substantial union with himself in the person of the Son. Hereby the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in it, in our nature, bodily, or substantially, and eternally. Hereby is its relation unto God eternally secured. And among all the mysterious excellencies which relate hereunto, there are two which continually present themselves to our consideration. First, that this nature of ours is capable of this glorious exaltation and subsistence in God. No creature could conceive how omnipotent wisdom, power, and goodness could actuate themselves under the production of this effect. The mystery hereof is the object of the admiration of angels, and will be so of the whole church unto all eternity. What is revealed concerning the glory, way, and manner of it in the Scriptures, I have declared elsewhere. What mind can conceive? What tongue can express? Who can sufficiently admire the wisdom, goodness, and condescension of God herein? And wherein he hath proposed unto us this glorious object of our faith and meditation, how vile and foolish are we if we spend our thoughts about other things in a neglect of it. Also, this is an ineffable pledge of the love of God unto our nature. For although he will not take it in any other instance save that of the man Christ Jesus, into this relation with himself by virtue of personal union, yet therein he hath given a glorious pledge of his love unto and valuation of that nature. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And this kindness extends unto our persons as participant of that nature. For he designed this glory unto the man Christ Jesus, that he might be the firstborn of the new creation, that we might be made conformable unto him according to our measure. And as the members of that body, whereof he is the head, we are participant in this glory. Roman numeral 3, it is he in whom our nature hath been carried successfully and victoriously through all the oppositions that it is liable unto, and even death itself. But the glory hereof I shall speak unto distinctly in its proper place, which follows, and therefore shall here pass it by. But Roman numeral 4, he it is who in himself hath given us a pledge of the capacity of our nature to inhabit those blessed regions of light which are far above these visible heavens. Here we dwell in tabernacles of clay that are crushed before the moth, such as cannot be raised, so as to abide 1 foot breadth above the earth we tread upon. The heavenly luminaries which we can behold appear too great and glorious for our cohabitation. We are as grasshoppers in our own eyes in comparison of those gigantic beings. And they seem to dwell in places which would immediately swallow up and extinguish our natures. How then shall we entertain an apprehension of being carried and exalted above them all, to have an everlasting subsistence in places incomprehensibly more glorious than the orbs wherein they reside? What capacity is there in our nature of such a habitation? But hereof the Lord Christ hath given us a pledge in himself. Our nature in him is passed through these visible heavens and is exalted far above them. Its eternal habitation is in the blessed regions of light and glory, and he hath promised that where he is, there we shall be, and that forever. Other encouragements there are innumerable to stir us up unto diligence in the discharge of the duty here proposed, namely, a continual contemplation of the glory of Christ in his person, office, and grace. Some of them, the principal of them which I have any acquaintance with, are represented in the ensuing discourse. I shall therefore here add the peculiar advantage which we may obtain in the diligent discharge of this duty, which is that it will carry us cheerfully, comfortably, and victoriously through life and death, and all that we have to conflict with in either of them. Let it be remembered that I do here suppose what is written on this subject in the ensuing discourse as being designed to prepare the minds of the readers for the due improvement of it. As unto this present life, it is well known what it is unto the most of them who concern themselves in these things: temptations, afflictions, changes, sorrows, dangers, fears, sickness, and pains do fill up no small part of it. And on the other hand, all our earthly relishes, refreshments, and comforts are uncertain, transitory, and unsatisfactory. All things of each sort being embittered by the remainders of sin. Hence, everything wherein we are concerned hath the root of trouble and sorrow in it. Some labor under wants, poverty, and straits all their days. Some have very few hours free from pains and sickness. And all these things, with others of an alike nature, are heightened at present by the calamitous season wherein our lot is fallen. All things almost in all nations are filled with confusions, disorders, dangers, distresses, and troubles.
Wars and rumors of wars do abound, with tokens of farther approaching judgments, distress of nations, with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. There is in many places no peace unto him that goeth out, nor to him that cometh in. But great vexations are on the inhabitants of the world. Nation is destroyed of nation, city of city, for God doth vex them with all adversity. And in the meantime, vexation with the ungodly deeds of wicked men doth greatly further the troubles of life. The sufferings of many also, for the testimony of their consciences, are deplorable. With the divisions and animosities that abound amongst all sorts of Christians. But the shortness, the vanity, the miseries of human life have been the subject of the complaints of all sorts of considering persons, heathens as well as Christians, nor is it my present business to insist upon them. My inquiry is only after the relief which we may obtain against all these evils, that we faint not under them, that we may have the victory over them. This, in general, is declared by the Apostle. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4. But for this cause, we faint not. But though our inward, that is our outward man, perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our beholding by faith things that are not seen, things spiritual and eternal, will alleviate all our afflictions, make their burden light, and preserve our souls from fainting under them. Of these things, the glory of Christ, whereof we treat now, is the principle, and in a due sense comprehensive of them all. For we behold the glory of God himself in the face of Jesus Christ. He that can at all times retreat unto the contemplation of this glory will be carried above the perplexing, prevailing sense of any of these evils or of a confluence of them all. It's a woeful kind of life when men scramble for poor, perishing reliefs in their distresses. This is the universal remedy and cure, the only balsam for all our diseases. Whatever presseth, urgeth, perplexeth, if we can but retreat in our minds unto a view of this glory of Christ and a due consideration of our own interest therein, comfort and support will be administered to us. Wicked men in their distresses, which sometimes overtake even them also, are like a troubled sea that cannot rest. Others are heartless and despond, not without secret repinings at the wise disposals of divine providence, especially when they look on the better condition, as they suppose, of others. And the best of us all are apt to wax faint and weary when these things press upon us in an unusual manner, or under their long continuance without a prospect of relief. This is the stronghold which such prisoners of hope are to turn themselves unto. In this contemplation of the glory of Christ, they will find rest unto their own souls. Ah, may the Lord add his own blessing to the work of John Owen, who wanted more of Jesus and wanted his people to have more of Jesus. I trust that will be your desire too.
I'd like to remind you that on my website, sermonaudio.com/aservant70, which you should be at right now, a lot of prophecy studies. I've studied the area of prophecy intensely, and I've put a lot of that right there on the site. Go looking for that, and you will be blessed. Tomorrow, we're going to continue this preface to the reader of a book by John Owen, The Glory of Christ. Remember Colossians 2:9, one of those famous verses telling us of the deity of Jesus Christ. It says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives." Amen and amen.